we were in this series together, we began to think about what to do instead of gossip. Oh, I have to turn it on. There we go. Instead of gossip. Last time we learned what to say instead of gossip, instead of speaking gossip. Today we're going to turn to the other side of the coin, listening. Instead of listening to gossip, what should we do? Because listening is very important. And we've already learned that the words of a gossip are like choice morsels, right? Swallow greedily, they go down to a man's inmost parts. They are a delicious poison. But not only can listening to gossip be harmful to us if we do it, but it can be downright evil to do it as well. Look down at Proverbs 17, verse 4. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for everybody that's here today, every brother and sister and friend. Thank you, Father, for the children who have gone back into the children's church and the nursery. I pray that they would experience blessing back there, your presence, the love of a Christian teacher that wants to share with them the good news about Jesus. And I pray, Father, for everyone that stayed in this room, that we would hear the Word of God spoken to us. We would be attentive, that we'd be listening. Our hearts would be tuned to your frequency. Lord, use my preaching if you can. Work around me if you must. But speak to us. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Let's look at 17:4 again of Proverbs. It says, a wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. So, there's a category in Scripture of evil listening. Not just evil talking, but evil listening. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. Some of the most popular paraphrases of the Bible see gossip actually in this verse. The New Living Translation puts it this way, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay attention to a destructive tongue. The Message paraphrase render 17:4 like this. Evil people relish malicious conversation. The ears of a liar itch for dirty gossip. The NIV, a wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a malicious tongue. We can sin, the Bible's teaching, that we can sin not just in what we say, those words coming out of our hearts, but in how we listen when others are gossiping to us. Let me say that again. We can sin not just in what we say, but in how we listen when others are gossiping to us. We've all been there, right? We've all been in a conversation that all of a sudden takes a wicked turn into gossip. What do we do then? About a month ago, I was talking with a nurse who said that that's about all they do among the staff where she works. I'm sure they also take care of patients, but when they aren't doing that, it's time to gossip. Any chance to talk about other people and talk them down gets taken. It's hard to escape. She said that recently they've been talking about a particular new employee, about what they'd heard about her personal life, and how deficient she was doing in her new job. And here's my friend in this circle of people talking about her. What to do? We can sin not just in what we say, but in how we listen when others are gossiping to us. Now, not all listening is evil, right? I just prayed that we would listen, right? The Bible commends and commands listening. James 1:19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. So listening is very important. We're supposed to do it regularly. And sometimes we have to listen, even to bad news about other people when they're not present, especially if we are in a position of authority or responsibility. But there is listening, and then there's listening. There is an evil kind of listening that receives sinful gossip and is just as bad as being a liar itself. Proverbs 17:4. A wicked man listens to evil lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. Now the difference, of course, comes down to the heart. It's no surprise there. How we are listening is determined by why we are listening. And the key, again, is to listen in love. Just like we saw last week with the law of love, right? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Can you apply that to listening? Listen to your neighbor. Talk about another of your neighbors as you would want your neighbor to listen to stories about you. It's a lot of neighbors and listens, and let me say that sentence again. It's not easy, but it's possible. It's possible to listen to your neighbor, talk about another one of your neighbors, as you would want your neighbors to listen to stories about you. Let me give you four biblical strategies for doing just that. Number one, pray and weigh. Pray and weigh. Now let me start off by saying that there is no one-size-fits-all action to take when someone is trying to share what seems like sinful gossip to you. Some teachers may give the impression that whenever gossip starts to flow, the only response is a sanctimonious, "Stop! This conversation is now gossip, and I will not be party to it," as if we're the gossip police. I think people are worried that because I've been studying gossip, I'm going to become the gossip police and pounce on people whenever I see them gossiping. No, that's not my job. Now, there may be a time for saying, "Stop, this is gossip, I'm not in." Probably never in that tone of voice. But there are several biblical strategies that a believer can take when the gossip starts. It's not one size fits all. Few things are in the Christian life, right? There are a lot of factors to consider. What's the situation? What is my relationship to the person talking? What's my relationship to the person being talked about? How serious is this gossip? Is it a lie? Do I know it's a lie? Is it true? Is it just a rumor? How serious is the bad news being shared? For example, is it just a foolish thing someone did, or is it really shameful? Is this the focus of the conversation, or is it just going to move on of its own accord? Those are just a few of the factors involved, and all of them are in play. There is not one size fits all. So we need wisdom and discernment in those gossip moments to know how to respond. And where are we going to get that? Pray and weigh. One of the best things in the whole world for Christians is that the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of them. The Lord Jesus promised on the night He was betrayed that He would send the Spirit to take His place in our lives. And the Spirit came and now indwells every genuine believer in Jesus Christ. One of the Spirit's ministries is to give us that kind of wisdom. In Ephesians 1, Paul says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so you may know Him better." The Spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit loves to give that wisdom to us. We just need to ask. James 1:5 says, "If anyone lacks wisdom," if you're in that situation, the gossip starts to fly, "if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask for it, and God will give it generously." That wisdom is also found in the Bible. We've been singing about that recently. And we should be ransacking the Scriptures for its teaching to guide us when we get into these gossip situations. So pray and weigh. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, we should have an inner dialogue going on with the Lord all the time. Our lives should be on speakerphone. But especially in those times and situations that we think we might be getting into trouble. When that conversation starts to go down a dark path, we shoot up a signal flare. "Lord, help. Lord, help. Help me to discern and to know what to do here." And as we're listening, we need to weigh carefully what we hear. Turn to Proverbs 15:28. It's just on the page to the left if you're looking at your pew Bible. On the page to the right is 17:4. On the page to the left is 15:28, Pew Bible 640. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." Now this is one of those think before you speak Proverbs, right? The wicked person just says what comes to mind. What's in their heart? It just flies out. But the righteous person ponders, considers, weighs what they're about to say before they say it. As people are talking to us, we need to weigh what they say in our minds. We need to be careful to not fall into judgmentalism, like we saw a few weeks ago, right? Not to jump to conclusions. I used to say that I got all of my exercise by pushing my luck and jumping to conclusions. Okay? We need to not jump to conclusions. We need to consider both sides. Sometimes we don't get the other side. We need to suspend judgment and think the best of other people. We need to weigh what we hear. Many years ago, I received a warning about a neighbor and was told some stories about this person. That person was telling me these stories. The person who was telling me these stories was telling me out of love. They weren't gossiping. It was bad news behind someone's back. It was not verifiable, but it came from a good heart. It was a biblical warning. So I weighed that out. I've taken that warning to heart, even though I have nothing but stories to go on with my caution about that neighbor. Pray and weigh. The Bible calls for us to be discerning. Now, sometimes that doesn't take long. You don't always have to pray and weigh for long. I have a friend who gets anonymous phone calls in the middle of the night that are just a voice calling to tell her something bad about her husband. The only thing good there to do is to hang up and maybe get a trace on the call to stop them. I sometimes get anonymous notes about people, including people here at our church. I just tear them up. It doesn't always take long to weigh what is being said. And if it does begin to seem like sinful gossip, then we have to take action and not just passively receive it. So number two, avoid. Turn over to Proverbs 20, verse 19. That's to the right a couple of pages. It's Pew Bible 6:4-5. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, "A gossip betrays a confidence." We've seen that before. A gossip tells your secrets. So what do you do about it? So avoid a man who talks too much. That's pretty straightforward. Avoid. Avoid a gossiper. Here's one way to not listen to gossip. Cross the other side of the street when you see a gossiper coming. Now that might mean for you and me skipping some social situations because we know that all that's there is going to be is sinful gossip. And that might be a sacrifice, but it might be worth it. Pray and weigh and sometimes avoid. It definitely means to avoid the gossip television show, the gossip blog, the gossip magazine, the gossip column, the gossip channel, the gossip Facebook page. Those things are no good for our souls, and we need to avoid them like the plague. I've read enough gossip doing my study for this doctoral project to last my lifetime. Ick. Avoid. Run away. But sometimes, of course, you can't avoid the person because of your relationship to them. Like my friend the nurse, right? She can't just skip the break room and always eat on her own. Sometimes she needs to be there with the other staff. I have other friends who are part of social circles that sometimes fall into gossip, but they are strategically there to be salt and light and influence those people for Christ. They don't avoid those people because they're trying to reach them. What about them? What about them? Sometimes I think we need to avoid not the person, but the topic. Right? Sometimes we need to redirect the conversation. Let's move this conversation to the other side of the street. Proverbs 17:9. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Now that last phrase should sound familiar. We've already looked at its sister verse in Proverbs 16:28 that says, "A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends." So the opposite of gossip is covering. Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs." Cover. What does that mean to do? What does that mean to cover over wrongs? Well, I'm sure it does not mean to pretend or to sweep something under the rug, to not deal with a problem that needs dealt with. This does not give perpetrators of crimes a blank check. Well, just cover it over with love. No, sin needs confronting. But this is talking about people who are uninvolved in the case, or people who could be overlooking an offense. It's covering over the wrong, drawing a veil over it. Do you remember what Noah did after he came out of the ark? Remember this? When we tell our Bible stories to the kids, we get to Noah coming out of the ark, and then we stop there and we jump all the way over to maybe to the Tower of Babel and over to Abraham, right? What did he do? Well, first he praised God and he worshiped. Then he grew a vineyard. And then he got plastered. Remember that? Genesis 9? And there was some shame that happened in his tent, the Bible says. Not quite sure what that was exactly. Well, one of his sons, what did he do? He gossiped, right? He went over to his brothers and he said, "Wouldn't believe what's going on in the tent over there." And he started to blab about his father's, the Bible calls, nakedness. But the other two sons, they took a garment or some kind of a blanket, and they both grabbed a side like this, and they walked backwards into the tent, right? Both of them, they walked backwards in the tent so they didn't even have to look, and they covered up Dad like that, and then they walked back out. They covered him. We could do that for other people. Not to make an excuse for them, but to cover over their shame so it's not exposed where it need not be. Cover. This weekend, Heather and I went out for dinner with some friends, and the dinner conversation turned towards some people whom we both knew. And Heather and I knew something bad about those people that the other couple didn't. And I really struggled at the table to figure out how much to say and how much to not say about that particular situation. I think we did okay. My gossip threshold is tuned pretty high right now. But my goal was to be honest and forthright, and also not to share more than what was needed, because it wouldn't help anybody. And he who covers over an offense promotes love. Joe Stoll says that we can do that from the get-go. In his book, The Weight of Your Words, he says, many times at social gatherings, someone will get just far enough into a story to have everyone's attention and then say, "You know, I really shouldn't be telling you this." Ever had that happen to you? And of course, the listeners all respond with, "Oh, come on, you can't stop now, we won't tell." It would be refreshing, Joe Stoll says, to hear someone respond with, "Good for you. Don't tell. I admire your self-control." We need to do what we can to stop negative talk before it gets spread. Cover. This kind of covering, I think, includes defending someone else's reputation, especially if you know the story. It's false. I was at a table a couple of years ago when someone's name came up and a story was shared about that person that was, as far as I knew, patently false. And I had to say in the table with my friends, "No, that's not true." And that was awkward, I'll tell you. I didn't want to be the, you know, conversation kind of goes, you know. But I had to. Unfortunately, it turned out that it was true. And I had to apologize to the fellow that I'd stopped. But it's right to defend another's reputation. Sometimes the right thing to do is to say, "Well, I'm not sure about that, but I don't think that's any of our business." Now that's a loving rebuke. Needs to be delivered humbly, not sanctimoniously, not self-righteously, but lovingly, because we want to stop it. We want to cover over an offense. My nurse friend and I brainstormed some more covering kind of strategies for her in her situation. She came up with the idea of offering an alternative interpretation to the gossip about their coworker. She would say, "Well, maybe she hasn't been trained very well on her new duties." Or she said, "I remember when I was just starting out on how hard it was to get the knack of it all." My friend decided to offer mercy in the name of her friend next time the conversation came around to her. Isn't that great? Not just passively listening to gossip, nodding, "Yes, okay, mm-hmm," but actively loving in the midst of it. We also came up with the idea of suggesting ways to help that new coworker get her job done well. Now that would be even better. Here we are in this conversation, we're complaining about our coworker, and we say, maybe you could show her how to do it. Remember, the goal is to live a life of love, even when listening. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Number four, go. And here I mean to go to the person that's being talked about. My wife reads this little book to the kids at bedtimes when I'm not there. It's called Bearing Fruit by Diana Klein. And story number 38 says, there was once a minister's wife who had a very effective way of stopping a person from slander or gossip in her presence. Whenever someone would say something unpleasant about someone else, she would get her hat and coat. Where are you going? The person would ask. I'm going to visit the person you mentioned and ask if what you said was true. People became very cautious about speaking unkindly about anyone in her presence. I'll bet. But that's good advice. If you hear about a story about someone, don't just receive it. If you think you need to know, then go to that person. And it's even more important if they've sinned against you. Matthew 18:5, up here on your screen, says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. Now, it doesn't say go to someone else and gossip. That's normally the first thing we do. Someone sins against me, and I don't go to them. I go to somebody else and complain. This says go to them. And if they bring you the story, go back together to the horse's mouth. If they're in trouble, they need you. Galatians 6 says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Go to him. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Well, we know what that law of Christ is. It's what we saw last week, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Remember, we're loving the person speaking, and we're loving the person being spoken about, even as we listen. Sometimes it's important to tell someone that others are gossiping about them. You have to do that as carefully as you can. Try not to gossip about the person that's been gossiping. It's best to encourage them to go personally to the subject. But sometimes if someone's reputation is being significantly harmed, it's important to let them know what you've heard and pray for them that they can straighten it out. Sometimes we're the person who has gossiped. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I'm going to talk about what to do when we're the one who has gossiped and we are regretting it. There is mercy and grace at the cross of Christ. Because His love covered all of our sins, not just drawing a veil over them so they aren't the subject of gossip, but paying for them, covering them with the precious blood of Jesus Christ who died for us. Let's pray together.